Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Weird World Podcast. It's a weird podcast that we do here. My name's Carrie.
I'm Dean.
Hi, Dean.
Hi, Carrie.
I'm not entirely sure what you're going to talk about.
Well, this episode is mainly going to be about UFOs. Really kind of think of it as weird news, the UFO edition. Remember we had weird news, the Bigfoot edition not that long ago? This is weird news, the UFO edition. Some interesting stories from the world of UFOs and aliens and extraterrestrials last year or so.
Don't UFOs have a new name now or a new acronym?
Often the government and researchers now call them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just going to stick with UFOs.
Okay.
It's more universal. Maybe UAP will someday supplant that. But so far, it just seems to be mostly for government and serious researchers into the phenomenon.
Okie doke. UAP sounds like an insurance company or something.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Who knows? So first, though, I wanted to start with, we got a letter from a listener named Christopher.
It was an email.
It's an email. I'm sorry, an email. No, it wasn't a handwritten letter. That'd be weird. No one does it anymore. It's an email from a listener, Christopher, and I really appreciate that, and appreciate that he's a listener. And he pointed out something that he was right about, which is that Grant Hancock, who I have talked about in the past in a couple of things, and not glowingly, and I said that he was an advocate for the ancient astronaut theory. I kind of lumped him up with those folks who are an advocate for the ancient astronaut theory, which is, you know, that aliens long time ago helped out humans, and that would explain things like the pyramids and the Sphinx, right, and things like that. Hancock actually he basically takes that same kind of attitude, but his explanation is, instead of aliens, it's an ancient civilization, a prehistorical civilization from 8 or 10 or 15,000 years ago with super advanced technologies, and it's that civilization that built all kinds of things like the pyramids and like the Sphinx and the Göbekli Tepe in Turkey and things like that.
So they're humans.
Humans.
And they had developed advanced technology, yes, and then we lost it.
Promptly left no evidence whatsoever for this technology. I mean, there's some weird things like the Antikythera device that looks odd, but essentially there's no real evidence for this whatsoever. So I was wrong, and I apologize for that. Grim Hancock is not an ancient astronaut theorist. He is a ancient civilization theorist, and I also called him a grifter, and I think Christopher didn't appreciate that. In my opinion, Graham Hancock is 100% a grifter. He is someone who has a background of economic journalism and global trade. As literally a journalist, suddenly he's now telling historians and geologists and other fields, those experts in those fields, that everything they think is wrong and he's right. Because why?
Yeah.
So that's, now does he really believe what he's saying? In my mind, what he's saying is so ludicrous and so unsupported and so clearly wrong by literally decades and decades of experts building on fields, again, like geology and dating methods and things like that. And he's saying all of that's wrong and I'm right because I thought of this idea once when I was high on shrooms. I made that last part up. But still, his theories are pretty laughable. They're also fairly arrogant and insulting to real experts, but honestly, they're frequently racist, since the target of his saying, look, they couldn't have done these achievements, they're pretty much always non-European, and they're mostly non-white.
Yeah.
So kind of there's at least a tinge of racism, whether that's what's in his heart or not, I don't know.
Well, but this is 100% not my area of expertise or interest a lot of the times, but don't we have a pretty good idea how the pyramids were made?
We know exactly.
Okay.
They gave us written records of how the pyramids were made. The evidence of the people who were building them and what they were fed and how they were housed is literally, we have records of them. We have archaeological evidence of exactly. There's not that much of a mystery in terms of how the pyramids are made. One of the things Hancock, though, studies a lot is the Sphinx. And he says that the sense of the Sphinx is weathered because it's 3,000 years old and in the desert. And the difference for weathering, he claims, is from water, and that part of North Africa would have been, you know, over 5,000 years ago when it was a well-watered area. People think, don't forget, the Sahara Desert actually was once it wasn't like a lush jungle, but it was a well-watered, fertile area for almost the entire portion of northern Africa. That's now becoming the ever-increasing and ever-expanding Sahara Desert. So, I mean, that's kind of, I think it was water, not other forms of erosion. Therefore, it must be 10,000 years old. I mean, grossly simplifying his argument, but not that. It's just as ludicrous as that. Uh-huh. I'll give you Graham Hancock is not an ancient astronaut. Christopher, I'm not going to give you that. He's not a grifter because I think he is. And I think there's evidence to support that. The rest of this listener, Christopher's concern, was centered on UFOs and how he thought we have something of a closed mind about UFOs. We don't. We've explained UFOs. What I've been really clear, and he seemed to be a little upset that he felt we had a closed mind because we...
Oh, he didn't say me.
You're right. He said me. I'm saying we to me.
Because I just sit here and play dumb.
So, I mean, there's a lot of references to having closed mind, but I don't just defend myself. That is fundamentally untrue. Most folks who believe in something outside of science, whatever, unproven stuff, mysterious stuff, and extreme claims, they seem to feel that unless you believe like them, you have the closed mind.
Right.
That's the opposite. Or it's not the opposite, it's 90 degrees wrong. Because there is the opposite. There are people who call themselves skeptics and they don't believe anything and they sort of mindlessly debunk everything or mindlessly deny everything. And then there are people who are the true believers who sort of do the opposite and believe pretty much anything and everything. And I'm sorry, but just because you believe only 8 of 10, wild claims doesn't mean you're being rational. It means you believe 8 of 10 things that are probably not true, or at least unsupported. And I'm talking about those things that don't have any, like Graham Hancock's is a really good example. He has zero support for it. In fact, there's tremendous support to show he's wrong. Believing that and insisting that other people believe on that, or they have the closed mind, is kind of the opposite of the truth.
I don't know if I would say I have a closed mind when it comes to UFOs, but my first instinct is to think there is a rational explanation for it.
With that one, I truly don't know. I'm very open-minded about UFOs, and I'm really, in fact, we're going to talk about that in a minute, and I'm really glad that we're finally getting a lot of official and supported and resourced investigations into what UFOs are. But what we don't do in this show, and we don't accept, is just if somebody makes an assertion about something and says, you have to believe it. I said it happened. I saw it. Whatever. That's the beginning of the investigation, and that's not the end of it.
Yeah.
You have to have evidence. So we are a podcast that loves this kind of content, but you better bring the receipts because we're just not going to believe just anything. It's got to have evidence. It's got to have logic behind it. Otherwise...
Well, and there just isn't going to be that for UFOs being alien aircraft at this point.
There's the Tic Tac video, and there's some others. There's the fast object, whatever that one was called. I forgot.
Things that are unexplained. Still.
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Kirsten mentioned a UFO incident in I think Zimbabwe. Uh-huh. I do want to cover that Zimbabwe incident. It's very well witnessed by a lot of kids, by 40-something children in class. There are some explanations potentially for it, but it is certainly an intriguing case, and we'll get to that eventually. It's been on my list for a long time, Christopher, so I'll get to it eventually. But I really appreciate the Christopher's desire to know and his interest in extraterrestrial phenomena. And in that spirit, that's what we're going to do today.
Wait, can I say something else about Christopher's email?
Yes.
I really appreciate how respectful he was.
Yes, he
even
was.
In telling you he thinks you're wrong.
Yeah.
And... that how could you have a podcast that talks about weird things when you don't believe in them? But he still was very respectful and nice, and he says he still loves the podcast. So
he didn't say Dean, you ignorant slut, like
Dan
Aykroyd did all those years ago.
So good job. That's how you handle people you disagree with and that you think are wrong.
Yeah, and I don't think all these things are wrong. I don't. Most of these things I don't know. In terms of UFOs is absolutely, I will be the first to say, I do not know. I absolutely don't know. But like we did the Travis Walton case, when Travis Walton, we explored that in depth, the case, the fire in the sky case in Arizona. And for sure, he was full of shit. For sure, he and his brother made that up. For sure, it was thoroughly debunked. Their story was absolutely full of holes. It was ludicrous. It didn't, match up. A lot of what they said simply wasn't true. Like, we passed these lie detector tests. They did not. So certainly not, at least not valid and objective lie detector tests.
I think it's possible.
I think it's absolutely possible.
And I just think it just hasn't happened yet. But
I don't know if it hasn't happened yet. We'll see. We're going to talk about some stories here now. We're going to talk about some of the recent UFO items that have been in the news lately. They run the gamut from very serious to, and thought-provoking even, to just hilariously ludicrous, which is kind of a microcosm of the state of the discipline today. There was really good research going on, and there's just absolute nonsense going out there. And there's a lot in between, unfortunately. There's a lot of which is kind of a hybrid, which is these so-called experts and so-called, you know, whistleblowers who are nothing of the sort, who are making claims that they don't have any support for. And the media are covering those stories with a lot of, you know, there's open-mindedness, and there's, again, you guys need to bring receipts. And they really haven't. They're just making claims out there, and they're kind of hiding behind their supposed expertise and the supposed experience and even the supposed role and experience in government itself to make a lot of money and write some books and have TV shows and YouTube channels and cash in. So let's start with one of the serious ones. This is Harvard professor Avi Loeb. He was part of the government's new effort to the AERO, AERO phenomenon. I'll get to in a second, but he was part of that initial government group. I don't think he's anymore. He's a Harvard, what is this discipline? I think it might be physics. I'm not positive though. But he recently claimed that the U.S. government had in its possession a meteor that indicated potentially alien technology. This was discovered, and the actual item was found in Papua New Guinea when there was a meteor or some kind of a landing, and they were able to track it down. And it happened in 2014, but they were recently able to track it down and find remains from that, and they were brought it home, and they tested it. And they're, quote, 99.999% certainty that the material came from another solar system. It's not from within our solar system. It's from deep space somewhere.
Okay.
And so they took a look at that material, and it was very strange. It's mostly iron. It has some silicon and some magnesium and titanium and some other trace elements of thing. But there's these very little, tiny little spherules, little tiny, perfect little balls. And I'll quote now from Avi Loeb. I'm sorry, Avi Loeb. Quote, it has material strength that is tougher than all space rock that were seen before and cataloged by NASA. We calculated its speed outside the solar system. It was 60 kilometers per second, faster than 95% of all the stars in the vicinity of the sun. The fact that it was made of materials tougher than even iron meteorites and moving faster than 95% of all stars in the vicinity of the sun suggests that potentially it could be a spacecraft from another civilization or some technological gadget, unquote. So he's saying it went faster than most things do, and it's harder and tougher than most things are. Therefore, it might be like he thinks he compares it to our Voyager landing on a planet, you know, literally millions of years from now, if not even billions of years now. He's very realistic about the time, which is one of the reasons that a lot of people take actual alien visitation very unseriously, is because the distances are so insane, the time is so impossible to travel, barring some kind of, you know, wormholes and things like that, folding space, whatever, which I have been on record. I'm very strong advocate. Just because we don't understand the physics of something doesn't mean that we
possible.
Know it can't be possible.
Exactly.
Absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Yes, who knows if we'll someday understand physics. You think physicists 100 years from now, let alone 500 years from now, aren't going to laugh at the level of our knowledge, because they are, and they should. So,
well, I don't think they should laugh at us.
They should laugh at our
They should
faces,
thank us for building the foundations for them to have the knowledge
You're right,
they
but
have.
They're going to chuckle at some of our idiosyncratic beliefs.
Unless we're completely positive. Wrong about stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. So anyway, Avi Loeb is someone who should be taken seriously. He's gone out on a limb sometimes. He's the one who thought that, what was that one? The Oumuamua? I can't pronounce it. Oumuamua or whatever it was, something that could also be evidence of extraterrestrial flight, and it could be like hiding a spaceship or something like that. Yeah. He does tend to make some statements that seem to be a little bit ahead of the evidence. In this case, others have said, well, it could be something. Some people thought it might be human-produced coal ash. And it's just, in other words, the things they were digging out of that meteor impact weren't altogether from outside of the solar system. It's not as 99.999% as he claims it is. Other experts disagree with that. And he said, no, we've compared it to that kind of coal ash, and it's not coal ash. And others have said, well, it's, you know, who knows? It could have been like a comet. It could be the remains of a comet. That was a counter argument published earlier this year. So it's uncertain, but it's certainly this event, this items they brought back from New Guinea are certainly pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. And I'm gonna almost purposely go back and forth between. Well, this one is actually quite related. This next one is story two, let's call it.
Okay.
Is where NASA has recently said, essentially pretty straightforward. Look, we've been looking at this a lot lately. We've found all kinds of reports, but so far we haven't seen anything that's clearly indicated of something that it is extraterrestrial. Here's the good news, though. Remember, I told you the government has been this program. It's the Defense Department's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, AARO for short. I just forgot that D. It should be a DARO. That's just a personal opinion. But they recently posted a report, and hundreds of sightings have been reported to them, and they've investigated hundreds of these sightings. And they've been mostly able to say, yeah, that one's this, that one's a balloon, that was a, you know, whatever, that was a flare, that was Venus, things like that. And a lot are just like, we just don't have enough information. We can't rule one way or the other on it. That's probably the bulk of them are in that regard. But 21, they've said, we don't know what this is here. These are certainly interesting, and they plan on investigating them more now. They've gotten over hundreds of reports. Let's see, 1,652 reports as of October 24th, 2024 from mostly from the last couple of years. So when they sort of advertised it and they made a kind of a public relations effort to get more people to say, if you saw something. He says basically they were multi-witness and they had other kind of supporting evidence that makes them intriguing. So we'll see what happens with those 21 sightings of something that could be anomalous. But they're very clear that so far, all the evidence taken together, that you can't substantiate life from another planet has come to Earth. They just don't have the evidence to say that. Quote, it's important to underscore that to date, AARO has discovered no evidence of extraterrestrial beings, activity, or technology. And the report also went, end quote, the report went on to say that though none of the resolved cases were substantiated. So far, I know they get attacked. Some of these people who have gone into congressional hearings, these so-called experts who are again, I'm just going to say it. They're making a lot of profitable YouTube channels and TV shows on Discovery and things like that, and writing books and things like that. I'm not saying that therefore they must be grifters, but it certainly gives them a vested interest. And the people who are saying, no, you're wrong, don't have that vested interest. There's one side that does and one side that doesn't. And you have to think about that when you're ascribing motivation. Yeah.
I mean, somebody can genuinely believe it and think,
for sure,
I am doing a public service, yes, and I need to get this information out there, so I'm going to write a book and I'm going to have a YouTube channel.
I totally get that.
If somebody wants to throw some money my way, that's great.
I know. But the one that Elizondo, I think, is, I'm absolutely convinced he's a grifter. Yeah. He's exaggerated his expertise. Well, yeah, he's exaggerated his experience. The little group he was the government's former UFO expert. I mean, it was like $20 million. It was Senator Harry Reid from Nevada throwing some money. All of that money went to a private agency that the government contracted with, and that's who he really worked for. And that private company was owned by a political supporter and fundraiser for Harry Reid.
Yeah.
So, Elizondo has just, I don't think he has any credibility whatsoever. And he said things like, and so is David Grush, who I think also, who was in the government, who was in the intelligence, but so what? It's like, oh, you used to be an intelligence agent, therefore everything you say is true. Really?
Yeah.
And they're described as whistleblowers, and because they've said things outright, like the government has bodies, and the government has technologies. And there's just, you know, when AARO says, no, there's no such thing, there is no evidence like that. Obviously, the UFO believers say immediately, "Oh, there's a government cover up," and
you know what?
It's unprovable. It's a non-falsifiable argument, like we talked about a few weeks ago.
But you know how I know that's not true?
How?
Because supposedly, you know, presidents hand off the book that's got all the top secrets in it. Do you think for even a split second Donald Trump would have been able to keep that secret?
He would
absolutely not.
The guy has on TV told Putin's things that were secret.
Yeah, there would have been a 3 a.m. tweet.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My God, I saw the bodies.
Yeah, no, you know. Absolutely not.
For
way.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. But officially, the government says they have no evidence of that whatsoever. I think they're genuine. I think, like, John Kozlowski is the most recent head of AARO, and he says, quote, there are interesting cases that I, with my physics and engineering background and time in the intelligence community, I do not understand, and I don't know anyone else who understands them either. He has an open mind. Mm-hmm. He's going to look at them, but he is going to need proof. He He's not going to need some blowhard who's cashing in to tell him, oh, there's all this, and making assertions that they have zero evidence and no firsthand knowledge of, that you know, the government has bodies and things like that. Yeah. Especially when those reports would have to come from the Roswell incident, and we will eventually get to it. But the Roswell incident has been so thoroughly debunked.
Yeah.
It's just is insane how most Americans just take that for granted. Like, there's a really good chance that it's, you know, the body, there's a crash landing. There was absolutely. Yeah. Again, I know some of the listeners will say, oh, you got a close mind about it. No, I've studied it extensively. I studied it from the initial point of view that it was true, because I was like everyone else. And I thought, this is true. I'm really interested in it. Then I started reading things where they explain what a body of evidence grew that explained what went on there. And when you trace firsthand stories, you realize this is actually a pretty weak story, but it's been so ingrained.
Interesting though. Yeah. How it has just become.
Most people say, yeah, for sure. It's true. No evidence, and a lot of evidence proving that it's wrong. That had nothing to do with aliens. It's ludicrous.
Yeah.
This report by Arrow saying we've got these cases was actually, interestingly, one day after those four witnesses, two of which I've already alluded to, testified that for the House Oversight Committee Joint Subcommittee hearing titled Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, Exposing the Truth, which tells you it's biased. This was a House Republican committee. It's sad to say that the UFO and kind of conspiracy theories in general have become more and more partisan, where Republicans tend to believe in these conspiracies, especially if they're anti-government. If they have something bad to say about government, in this case, government's hiding the truth from us, Republicans are going to jump on board. They're preaching to their audience to a certain extent. Some of them may even believe it. I doubt it. I think they're just, you know, they're Republican House members. They're all grifters too. So, and so are half the Democrats. And Democrats would be more like, oh no, we support science. And that's horrible. That's sad. That did not used to be true. That's a relatively new phenomenon. Republicans have become anti-science and pro-conspiracy anything. That's dangerous. But I think that's what's happening at those House Oversight Committee, is that it's just a way to play to a big chunk of their base, because a lot of folks out there on YouTube believe in UFOs, and you know, they want to get their ear.
And also, what else do they need right now? A distraction.
That's true. Well, this is a few months ago, but yeah.
Yeah, but still. Yeah.
I honestly think it's just attention seeking.
Yeah. Wow.
On these House people, and I know for a fact it is on the people who came and testified to them. At least a couple of them. There's another one. There's a former Rear Admiral in the Navy named Gallaudet, who I think is a little more, I think he generally thinks because he's something very anomalous. We'll get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. And I think he really does think he saw something from out of this world. I don't know that he did or not, but I think he's genuine. I think Grush and Elizondo are 100% full of shit.
Yeah.
Again, just my opinion from listening to what they have to say for themselves. And here was one thing I do want to read from Elizondo when he testified to that committee in Congress. He said, although much of my government work on the UAP subject still remains classified, excessive secrecy has led to the grave misdeeds against loyal civil servants, military personnel, and the public, all to hide the fact that we are not alone in the cosmos. Again, he has zero, 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 zero support to say that. But notice what he's doing there. This is something a lot of the UFO believers and enthusiasts do, is that because much of the evidence has to be classified for legitimate national security reasons, they say this is proof of a cover up on government secrecy.
Yeah.
The whole foundation, the underpinning of Area 51 claims, is based on that, because that is a very secret, top right. secret. That's where stealth bombers and things like that, and SR-71 and spy planes were developed. And so it is off limits.
Yeah.
It is hyper secret. You cannot take satellite images above it and fly above it. And so they take that obvious necessary classification as, you know, evidence of cover. That's just ridiculous. It's non-falsifiable. It's no win from the government side on that. And so anyway, I'm not going to talk anymore about Elizondo. He just makes me angry. So essentially, though, one of the error has started to look into some of these ones, and one of the ones they did find that they thought was pretty credible was a sighting from a pilot where he saw something in the sky that he reported. And it turns out, they looked into it more closely, and it turns out that the commercial pilot had seen like white flashing lights in the night sky. It ended up, actually, it was Starlink satellite launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida. Uh-huh. I say that for two reasons. One, it's because, you know, you hear a lot about, oh, well, but these are expert witnesses, expert, you know, kind of trained observers, things like that. Well, this pilot was whatever he was that, and he was fooled, which is fine.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure what it was. He reported it. That's fine. Yeah. And two, it's all Elon Musk's fault, which is I'm always going to be on board with at all times. So that's the arrow, and that's the it's interesting to me that you do have this residue of cases that are really interesting, and they're going to look into it, I think, with an open mind and with bright minds. They're physicists and people, astronomers and people like that, smart people, video experts, are going to look into it with resources behind them, and I applaud that. I think that's about time. I wanted to bring up that there's also been some new news because that San Diego case I mentioned, was it Tim Gallaudet? I'm not sure. He is an oceanographer. He's a former naval rear admiral. And he was, I don't know if he actually saw, but there was a case in San Diego from 2019. It was off the Pacific Coast. It's one of the stories we talked about when we talked about the Tic Tac case. Because this is one of the stories that it was exposed in 2021, I believe. It was, the video was leaked to a documentarian, and I can't remember his name. And it was one of the, I've seen the video. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's a dark object. It's grainy. It's a little bit misleading for people because what you often don't remember is that the footage is actual thermal imagery. It's not literally videotape of something. It's thermal cameras interpreting the visual for you. That's just how it works. So it's a little bit, it's very, very grainy, but it is intriguing. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's this dark object. It flits around a little bit, then it stays. And these are, you know, trained naval people, and they're calling it. We need to get helos out there right now, meaning helicopters out there right now. They don't know what that is, and it's getting closer, and it finally plunges in the sea. And they say, oh, there's a splash, there's a splash, which identifies it as what? Not a UFO, but a...
like an asteroid or a meteorite?
USO, an unidentified submersible object.
Okay.
So, which we talked about, of course, on episode, Shag Harbor episode, I lost it, 30? A long time ago, 2017, we talked about that. So one of our early ones, which I'm also going to write about in my next book about UFOs, which is a good time to bring up my last book. Hey, what's it called?
Strange Visitors.
Yeah, go check it out on Kindle and buy it for like $3 or something like that. So this report was released recently looking at this whole San Diego case, this weird USO submersible that Tim Gallaudet, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, is investigating. He said, pilots, credible observers, and calibrated military instrumentation have recorded objects accelerating at rates and crossing the air-sea interface in ways not possible for anything made by humans, they wrote. So he's a big advocate. So let's look at this. He thinks it's a major, that USOs are something we really should be concerned with because these indicate capabilities that are well beyond human technology. Other people have looked at it, and even that video, and some people think it might be an artifact within the via itself. Some people think it's a drone. Some people even think it might be a form of electronic warfare. That is, they're making us think we're seeing that, like, say, Russia or China are making us see we're seeing something that's really not there. And the reason they do that would be to test our capabilities and test our reaction. Just look at the video if you want to, and it is absolutely fascinating. It's one of the cases that, like, along with the Tic Tac video that I think say this is some of the best evidence that we have for something out there. But it certainly is not conclusive. Case closed. It's UFO. And anybody who says that is not being completely honest or doesn't understand how to assess evidence.
Did anybody ever go look for it?
I think they did send helicopters out there, but they didn't find anything. Okay. I mean, this is off the Pacific Ocean. It would have been very deep.
So they don't really even have a good idea of where it would have gone into the ocean.
I don't know. I don't know how far it was from them when they're taking the thermal imagery.
Because it's probably hard
I know
to
that
tell.
It took a while for the helicopter to get out there. I'm sure it was a few miles away. I don't know.
But
that
if they never
exactly
saw it,
how far it was.
They wouldn't even know.
Yeah, if it was something real or not.
Yeah.
It looks real on the video. The thermal image is grainy, it's black and white, but it's still, it looks like there's clearly something there and it does go into the water.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. The next one, though, is a little less, is more memorable. I said we're going to run the gamut for here. This is one of the different gamuts. Apparently, unbeknownst to those of us not on YouTube, because we like truth, I've said this before, YouTube is mainly good for like tutorials on how to do things.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's great for tutorials.
If those tutorials have anything to do with computers or technology, they're shit because they're always wrong. And if there's going to be four steps, it's going to go off the boards by the second step, 100% guaranteed every single time. So, but this one, a big, this guy on YouTube, I guess his name is Cliff High, perfect last name for his claims, has had this YouTube channel for quite some time, and he's had what he describes as a model that tracks things on the internet and allows you to then predict what's going to happen in the future by tracking like keywords and things like that, chatter on the internet. And recently, he's a computer scientist and a linguist.
I was going to ask what his background is.
Yeah, and he made his prediction about what he predicted was going to be 39 days to Melee. That he called that it was going to be, he predicted a battle between humans and aliens would occur in the sky exactly 39 days after a trigger incident. He then decided that trigger incident was what he also called a temporal marker, was the interview of Joe Rogan with President-elect Trump on October 25th. Wait for your math on the calendar just for the end, add some suspense here. He said, quote, "So we're going to have these some kind of weird confrontations, visible contention, which we could probably call and term combat in the skies that will show up, and it'll show up at a predictable point, which is probably something over a month. And we'll put down 30 days or 39 days, something over a month after the temporal marker of Trump and Rogan," period. One sentence. And that's just the beginning of all of this, right? That's
he
a quote.
Himself?
They don't have a question mark by that, but yeah. So maybe it's more of a statement.
Yeah.
So anyway, this visible contention quote was going to be like literally an alien war with us in the sky with either space aliens or, quote, alien reproduction vehicles. Don't know what that is.
Uh-huh.
And it's his model. It's called the WebBot. And it's a computer program that allows individuals to predict future events. This is I'm quoting this from the newspaper article. By tracking keywords on the internet, it monitors internet chatter, including articles, blogs, forums, and more. And so by somehow he puts these into a quote model.
Okay.
And it produces predictions. Some people said, "Oh, he predicted like the tsunami or something like that." How can chatter predict an upcoming tsunami from months before?
Well, that's what I was going to say. People can talk about all kinds of weird shit on the internet.
Yes.
And how in any way could that predict future events? I don't.
It of course can't.
Unless the chatter is like, "Oh, Taylor Swift's going to have a concert."
Yeah, that's different. No, I don't think it's the same thing. You know how you can predict that? By looking at her conscious schedule.
Sure.
I believe. But yeah, he said he's been predicting this thing since 2009. I don't know if he's made as firm and concrete predictions as he has in this most recent one. But again, he said that the triggering event was on 25th. So that 39 days to the Melee would have been, if you're listening to this, listeners, please look at your calendar.
Thanksgiving.
December 3rd. Oh. We are uploading this on December 12th. So, nine days after this predicted battle with aliens.
I have a question.
Yes.
How could a conversation between two men on Earth be a triggering event for a war with aliens?
It's low-level Nostradamus. Nostradamus, his predictions were just gobbledygook, and they didn't mean anything. And he said, therefore, something's going to happen. This is what he's doing. His method, his model is clearly nonsensical.
Yeah.
And so you make predictions, and if they hit, you're Nostradamus. If they don't hit, you move on to the next one. And it's typical dime store psychic, National Enquirer level psychic predictions.
You'd be better off making more realistic predictions.
Which makes me think he actually believed this.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know whether he's just making it up or he really believes this. I think he might really believe it, which is a little sad. And also, he was gloriously wrong, thank God. So either we won and we hushed it up, or it never happened.
Or maybe it was just all cloaked. Everybody has cloaking technology.
Maybe. Oh, we're going to get to cloaking in a little bit, actually.
And we just didn't get to see it.
The next one is an equally one that's I think we can have some fun with. Mexican's Congress actually had testimony earlier this year from a guy named Jaime Masson. He's a self-described ufologist. And he brought them two little caskets. He brought them into the congressional chambers. He had this it sounds like it might have been a committee hearing,
right.
Not unlike the couple that we've had here in the U.S. Congress. Uh-huh. And he said, well, here's my proof that there are aliens. And he unopened the two little caskets, and he revealed two little bodies. I'm going to show Carrie now a picture of one of those bodies, and she's going to try not to laugh that hard.
I mean,
describe that for you, if you will, with our listeners. And we'll put this picture up on our stuffs.
It looks like paper mache.
It looks chalky, doesn't it? But I mean, describe it what the alien, quote unquote, looks like.
I don't know what it looks like. I mean, it's got a face. It looks kind of humanoidish face.
Humanoidish face.
But it's gray. It looks like it could be made out of clay or...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
It looks sort of clay or chalky,
yeah,
kind of. I don't know if it's supposed to be stone, but it has like a kind of a flat face and then a long, elongated horizontally skull, I think, behind it.
Yeah, you can't really see it.
Yeah.
But it looks tiny, but
tiny.
There's no perspective.
A little nose.
I don't really know.
A little mouth. And just in this picture, we just have the upper part of the body, which looks very actually chunky and rocky and rough. Doesn't look like even a creature.
It doesn't look like it's made out of organic material.
It's not. And he said, but you know, it has the big head, it has the little body. It apparently has three fingers. We can't see that in this picture. We'll find some others. He said they're found in Peru in 2017. And he says they're estimated to be 1,000 years old. I don't know who's doing the estimating.
Well, I mean, they could be carbon dated.
Yeah.
But
pretty sure they haven't.
What? Even if you stumble upon those, mm-hmm, in, where'd you say? Peru?
Peru.
I would think those are some kind of carvings, stone carvings or something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
He says
I might think
them,
I had found some great, you know, archaeological find.
You wouldn't think
or
little tiny aliens?
I would absolutely not think aliens.
One of them, he says, looks like he's pregnant. He says, quote, these are not mummies. These are complete bodies that have not been manipulated. End quote.
So okay. Have they been cut into to see?
I guess not. No.
I mean, I don't want to see that little alien baby in there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very true. He and some other people spoke to this Mexican committee on, looking at UFOs.
Yeah.
And basically, scientists immediately dismissed them as, like, they are indeed Peruvian mummies or some. I mean, he's probably manipulated them, they say. But it's fairly laughable. They're clearly not little baby alien creatures, because you could, you know.
But so they think they really are mummies? That they are some?
They're not sure.
Yeah.
If they are, they're probably, he's messed with them.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I don't think they even look like mummies, but okay.
He said they have big eyes too and big brains back, which quote, allowed for wide stereoscopic vision, but they look like they've actually pretty small eyes. They don't have any teeth either. And he says, so they likely only drank and did not chew. I don't know. Some people have joked. One person on Blue Sky actually posted and says, they're covered in elote seasoning. And one said, ask me about the new Joe Rogan diet that has me looking like an alien mummy. But a lot of people on Twitter X actually fell for it. There's a bunch of people who are falling for this. No shock there. This guy has a terrible background. He's a famous kind of UFO bullshitter.
Yeah.
He also, by the way, sells health supplements for various things. So he's also on the grift. Guess who else spoke at this hearing in Mexico was Ryan Graves. He's a former U.S. Navy fighter. He's one of those four people. He's the fourth one now who have testified as an expert on UAPs to the House Congressional Committees.
Uh-huh.
And he said he spoke to this Mexican committee. He's the one who says he's seen like a dark gray or black cubes inside of a clear sphere. He claims to have seen a UFO. And maybe he did.
Yeah.
But just like that commercial pilot who saw Starlink launch was mistaken, Ryan Graves could be mistaken. Ryan Graves is the other one who strikes me as possible. I think he really believes it. I think he's probably sincere. We don't know what he saw or didn't see.
Yeah.
We don't know. He actually, though, after the hearing, he found out what this guy, Masson, was doing, and he was embarrassed. He apologized. He said, look, that didn't help. I was there to be serious about this, and that guy made an ass of himself. And he said, quote, the whole thing is very shameful. So even Ryan Graves is thinking, no. Those mummies are full of shit. They look to me, you know, they looked like kind of a modern day Fiji mermaid.
Yeah.
Where they're just sort of crafted to look like something back then. Yep. P.T. Barnum made, I think, what does he turn? He turned some kind of fish.
Yeah.
To look, and he put the body of, I think, monkeys to make it look like a really crude looking small little mermaid, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And this looks like something, just if it was something real at the beginning, he's carved him and manipulated. I think he's carved him. I think he's made him a pole cloth. I don't know. So that's a little bit of fun there. Another kind of along the same line, though, a little bit along the same line, is the aforementioned Luis Elizondo recently, to his credit, admitted he was wrong.
Oh.
So apparently, earlier this year, folks were sharing this photo that showed a UFO. And it was getting a lot of publicity and it was supposedly taken in Hungary. And here's Elizondo got a hold of that and promoted it himself. He said, quote, "A photo that was provided to me by a friend in government a couple of years ago was presented by me 2 days ago at our engagement in Philadelphia." He does a lot of speaking engagements. And they call him the former head of the Defense Department's secret UFO tracking program, which, again, is a gross exaggeration. And the clip, he showed a clip posted by a UFO journalist named Stephen Greenstreet, and he said he called it the mothership, and he said it was seen above Bucharest. I'm sorry, it was Romania, not Hungary. Above Bucharest, the Romanian capital, and the picture was taken in 2022, and he showed this picture and promoted it on social media and things like that. And he said in one quote, "Guess what we caught in Romania in 2022? By the way," and he shows the picture to all the people in this Philadelphia event. They're like, "Oh, and on. So it's a UFO for sure." He says, "By the way, the photo was taken from the U.S. Embassy." Like, nailed it. And digital sleuths pretty quickly started, just like they just did the backward photo thing you could do on Google. And they proved immediately that it could not possibly have been taken anywhere near Bucharest, at least hundreds of miles away, because some things in the background and some vantage points that were very, very far from Bucharest.
Uh-huh.
Right? So already wrong. In fact, a guy named John Greenwald Jr., he traced it to a source. It was a Facebook group called Mysterious Ancient Discoveries. So it's just a fake UFO thing. But you say, okay, well, what about the UFO? Is it really a UFO? Maybe it's not where they said it was taken, but it's for sure a UFO. It's the mothership. It's huge. I don't understand. He said, actually, you know, it's actually a debunked viral UFO from a while ago, and that the mothership is actually a chandelier.
Oh, my God.
It's just a fake picture of a chandelier, and they photoshopped it.
Yeah,
and
made it
an Elizondo hook, line, and sinker fell for it. Again, to his credit, he was told of this by Greenwald, and he took it back. Yeah. He says, "It looks like we can put this one to bed. Excellent work to whoever solved this one, and a big thank you. Crowdsourcing works." And then he said, "Now let's see if together we can figure out the rest." Great. I congratulate him for doing that. Yeah, but see where his heart is by his initial claims without doing any checking whatsoever on this. He's making kind of these also kind of pompous, kind of asshole-y claims like, "Hey, okay, another, you know, proof against the man trying to hide the truth," kind of a thing. And he was just embarrassed. So it's good that he owned up to it, but it shows you the kind of mind behind these claims.
But also saying, "Now let's see if we can, you know, take on the rest," is kind of the inference is, if we can't debunk it by finding out that it's a Photoshop or something like that, then it's got to be an actual alien aircraft.
And most of those cases are, like I said, at the best, even the best ones, like Tic Tac and like the San Diego one and some others, are like, "Gosh, that's suggestive. We need to look into it more." Nothing. Until you see someone come down and says, "Take me to your leader."
Yeah.
And then you tell them who the leader is and they laugh and leave. until we have that, they are, we won't. I mean, I know it's impossible evidence, but that's the evidence you need.
Yeah.
Especially these days where everything can be so faked and so well faked.
Yeah.
You're going to have actual, real, legitimate contact with multiple people in a almost semi-official way or something along those lines.
Well, and if they really are coming here and they are hovering and they are landing in the ocean or whatever, we should have actual physical evidence.
You would think by now that you would. Yeah. Something that is another story is the what's called fast radio burst. And those are little like burst of radio waves that was discovered first in 2007. And scientists since then have been tracing them and kind of cataloging them. And they're little like flashes of radio waves emanating from way the hell out there in space.
Yeah.
And people don't know what they are. Astronomers, professionals, real experts have no idea what they are or what's causing them or what's sending them or if they're being sent intelligently or not. And some of them sound or are measured with tremendous regularity at very predictable points now. Some are extremely powerful. And what's happening is that they're getting more numerous and more powerful over time recently. Oh. Yeah, they're called FRBs, which is fast radio burst.
Yeah.
And they would take a significant amount of energy, said, as much energy in a fraction of a second as the sun emits in a few days. So something is using a tremendous amount of energy to send these waves out. And it could be like a star. It could be, you know, that's the popular theory.
Yeah.
Is that maybe it's something, some people think it's released by, quote, the extremely magnetized remains of a collapsed star, like almost like a cosmic lighthouse, they call it. But we don't know. Quote, we're narrowing down the source of FRBs, for example, to extreme objects such as magnetars. I think that's a magnetic collapsed star. Great name, by the
way.
But no existing model can explain all the properties that have been observed so far, an astronomer said. So is it this collapsed star? Or is it a dying planet desperately calling for help?
Could be.
Or is it an evil dying planet of vampires trying to lure us to our deaths by attracting us to their planet light years away? I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not an astronomer, so I'm not an expert, so I have no business. Unlike Graham Hancock, I'm not going to bullshit about things I don't understand. So we'll see. I'm going with vampire planet. Now I'm going to end with a story that was a pretty big story last year and recently has gotten another sort of a reboot to it because I'm going to use air quote for expert, has looked at the video and claimed that it shows something anomalous, that is to say, an alien in someone's backyard in Las Vegas.
Oh.
It happened in June of 2023 where a kid, a 16-year-old kid, his name was Angel Kenmore, he called 911. I've left them recording. We should probably play some of the recording a little bit. But he called 911 and pretty calmly, as a matter of fact, said he saw two alien figures in his backyard. It was about, he called, I think, at 11:50. So it was after 11 when he saw this. And this is a really interesting story. So you had the police were out there, and the timing is a little confusing because you have actually police footage, body cam footage of something falling from the sky. It's a blue, almost a fireball falls from the sky, and the police see it and they say, "Whoa, what the hell was that?"
Yeah.
And then you have this kid, and I think the timing of that was before the kid called in. And this kid and said he and his family, like we're seeing something out there right now. We're scared shitless. There's something in our backyard. It looks like it's an 8 or 10 foot tall thing, a person. In fact, let's go ahead and play a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's going on over there?
Okay, lady. Me, my dad, and my brother, we're working in a truck in our backyard, and we have a big lot outside, right, Kurt?
Okay.
We were working, and we just see in a corner of our eye something fall down from the sky. And it was with light, and when it hit down, it was like a big impact, and we felt it. We felt like an energy, and then we hear like a lot of footsteps near us, and then we have a big equipment, and we see, and there's like an 8 foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us, and it's still there.
Okay, where is this on your property?
In my backyard. I swear to God, this is not a joke. This is actually we terrified of it.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're like 8 foot, 9 feet, 10 foot. I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes. They have big eyes, like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're shiny eyes, and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
Okay, so that was the full most of the 911 call from Angel. to the 9/11 operator, who he calls Lady.
And when did this happen?
It happened in March of 19, or May? No, I'm sorry, June of 2023.
So everybody has a cell phone with a camera.
No, well, there is video.
Oh, okay.
Of what they claim to have seen. Now, a couple things. One, their backyard is like a big yard, a big lot almost. I don't know if I think they do fix trucks and things like that back
yeah.
there. And two, they're... It's weird. So the video we can't listen to the video. There's no point in it. But the video shows three men walking into. Someone's supposed to be a fourth behind taking the video, and they're walking into like a gate, like the gate at the side maybe of the house.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of fence to the right of that gate, and they're walking through the gate, and they're looking to the back of the yard. That is away directly away from the camera. Right.
Uh-huh.
So three people, you see their backs, they're walking through this gate directly to, on the upper, on the right of them, right on the fence to the right of the gate hinge,
uh-huh.
is supposedly a face. And people who have looked at the video, we're going to listen to a person named Scott Roeder, who was a crime scene investigation expert, critically to point that out, not a video expert of any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
He's worked for the police department as a crime scene, like reconstructionist.
Right.
He, you know, claims it's real, there's something there, and that there's this kind of face. I mean, you can see kind of a shadow, but here's the key. They do not react to it in any way, shape, or form, because they've claimed that, oh, that face has to be a 10-foot tall being, a creature, because it's above this fence, which looks like it's maybe 7-8 feet tall.
Yeah.
And you can see, they claim that you can see something behind the slats of that fence.
Uh-huh.
It would have been 3 feet to the right as they walked by it. They do not react. They appear in the thing to react to something at the back of the yard that we can't, you never see it.
Yeah.
This video does not show anything that they appear to see. And they sort of react a little bit, and then they start walking back, that's where the video ends, as far as I can tell. But this thing, this supposed face to the right, honestly, it looks like a roundish shadow. I just don't. So whatever he's describing, I don't think we don't really ever have it on video. I think the two things are something different.
Right.
And I think they see something that to them the family saw it, that his dad came out and his mom came out. And he said, I think I see an alien back there. I think Angel had seen that a lot of people in that area had seen this blue-ish fireball come down.
Uh-huh.
And then he sees this, what he thinks is something in his backyard, and he thinks is an alien. And I think he's very genuine, by the way. I think they all are. And he gets his family and says, oh my God, you see that? Look, there's an alien back there. And he appears, you've heard on the call, he appears to think there's two, like maybe there's one next to the other one.
He could see their eyes.
That's what he says. He says they have shiny eyes.
Yeah.
So
big
again,
eyes.
It's not this shadowy looking blob that Scott Roeder, the supposed expert, says is, you know, an alien. It's not, that's not what they saw. That's not what they're describing. They clearly don't react to it. There's a real disconnect in that video and what people have described it as. Certainly what Scott Roeder has described it as. I feel like he's talking about something completely different.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah. And so he uploaded this footage. The kid did, the 16-year-old did, Angel did. And recently, Scott Roeder, who, again, is a crime scene reconstruction expert, and he has a company now, something they're employed by lawyers to reconstruct crimes and things like that. He has a company.
Yeah.
They're called the evidenceroom.com or something like that. And he works for them, or I don't know if he's part of the leadership or founded it, or I'm not clear, or just works for it. I don't know. But he has recently said, you know, they've looked at it. They've used their expertise. He says that this thing, whatever it is, quote, interfering with the camera's ability to capture the image. and he says this, I saw an interview with him. It was an interview with News Nation, which is a very conservative news cable channel that has now gone just all in on UFO reporting. It juices their ratings every time they do a UFO story. So they're become almost a UFO, you know, news station to a certain extent. And he was saying, literally, he goes, it's like it's using a cloaking device. We can't read all the pixels there. are, you just don't know what the fuck you're looking at because there's not really anything there. Other people have said, it looks like it's just a shadow because you can tell there's multiple light sources out there. So you just don't know.
Yeah.
And Scott Roeder has said something like, well, if it's just a shadow, we could easily reconstruct it. But other experts, a guy who, honestly, I was surprised to see this. His name is Ben something. I should know his last name. And he actually hosts a show about UFOs on Discovery Plus. And he sounds wholly rational about this. And he thinks it's a shadow. And he explicitly says, no, there's multiple light sources. We don't know exactly where they are, how high they are. It's impossible to reconstruct. We'll never get back the exact same situation. But he thinks it's just sort of a weird shadow effect from multiple light sources. And again, he points out, they're not reacting to this. The news person saying, and then they appear to be scared, and that their fear looks and look to the right, and they're scared because remember the objects to the right. He says, well, they're clearly looking toward the back. They absolutely looking. Yeah. They are never looking to the right. So she's kind of doing a little sleight of hand there. She works for News Nation. Not a surprise there.
Well, but also, isn't there audio?
There is audio. There's not audio.
Oh, okay.
At least on when I've seen it, and I don't know if I've seen the whole thing or not, to be honest with you. I've looked it up in a couple of sources, but there's no audio on it that I've seen, or at least they're not playing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So going back to Angel, he has talked about it since then. He says, the only thing I can see in the backyard is a tall creature around 8 or 10 feet, very thin. So I call my dad, went to the backyard, and he saw the same thing, the same creature I saw. So it's a little bit of, it's likely that Angel was probably priming his dad's like, I see something back there. What the hell is that thing back there? It's 8 or 10 feet tall. It's a creature back there. And his dad, he says, he told me to go inside the house. At this point, we're all freaking out, me and my family. And here's the video where we are in the backyard. You can see, you cannot see it too good on the camera, but it's there. You can't see anything in the back of the, you can't see anything what they're seeing. It's very narrow. It's very distant. You really can't.
Yeah. Which is fine. Impossible. Yeah.
I mean, they were clearly scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they get the hell out of there. They saw something that scared them. He described it as tall, skinny, lengthy, with a gray greenish color, weird looking feet, and a big face and eyes. And you can see a big mouth. And I could hear his loud, deep breathing. And I could see his stomach moving.
See, it's weird that they can see that much detail.
I know.
That they can't capture.
Well,
even on a cell phone.
I think they took the video a little bit after this initial time because they're going around. It looked like they're going around the house after he had seen it already and called 911. He says, I looked at in the eyes and my body just froze like having sleep paralysis. Interesting choice of words. He had a weird looking face, big feet and big shiny eyes and a big mouth. And so, you know, he says he can hear it breathing. I mean, the police came, but they called the police. They came, they investigated. And that's why they took it very seriously because a cop saw that fiery meteor-like thing earlier. Uh-huh. And they knew that.
Yeah.
And so they're asking people, did you see anything in the sky here? And some people said, some neighbors in that area said, I did. And they described it too. I've heard people describe it as greenish. It looked bluish to me, but.
Huh. Well, Angel also said they felt it land.
Yeah. Yeah. So
was there any evidence of anything landing in there?
No, there wasn't.
Afterward?
But most experts think it was probably a meteorite.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It could have been something. There's Nellis Air Force Base. There's a lot of things going on. The local news people have asked them and talked to those officials there, and they said it wasn't us.
Yeah.
Who knows? Especially if it is secret.
Yeah.
But also, it could have been some kind of meteorite, and they could have heard it. It doesn't mean you're always going to find the physical evidence of it necessarily.
Yeah.
But and so you could have this triggering event where, you know, they see something scary, they hear it land, and then they go look outside and they see something. What is that thing they might have seen? Well, it strikes me that the thing that would make it look like a tall being would be something on top of the fence.
Well, I was going to say a cat.
A possum, a cat,
a raccoon.
One expert said raccoons have the eyes shine.
Yep, and they stand up.
Yeah, and if they're on top of the fence, they're going to look like they're 8, 9, 10 feet tall. Then your mind, because remember, we is pareidolia. Your mind makes patterns. You see something you think is a head. There must be a body beneath it.
Yeah.
So you see this long, skinny body. Who knows? There's tricks of lights. There's slats behind the fence that are letting light in, out, etc. We just don't know. I think they scared the shit out of themselves.
Yep.
And they saw something that wasn't there. Because the alternative is, yes, there was a crash landing. An alien went into their backyard for a little while and then left.
And disappeared.
I don't know that I understand what that, I mean, maybe the alien was like injured, didn't know where he was, called for help, and they came and got him before the police got there. I mean, thankfully for the alien.
That was a quick rescue mission.
It was a very quick rescue. I need an extraction.
Beam me up.
So I don't know. The thing that annoys me about this is that all the media describe Scott Roeder as this expert and say, oh, this expert looked into it. He is not an expert on the expertise necessary to examine this video.
Yeah.
He's not. He's a crime scene reconstructionist. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'll trust him when he's measuring how fast that car broke and how fast it's going before it hits somebody or something like that. Or, you know, chalk outlines and things like that. I think. But not when it comes to the technicalities of investigating video. And he has, to his credit, he said, oh, you know, here's what we think it is. And maybe there's somebody else at his shop that does that kind of thing. I don't know. If so, he's talking about it and they're not, which is, you know.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, said, hey, let's have, everybody should look at this. Come on, everybody. Which is great. Yeah. No, let's look at it.
Yeah.
From what I said. But when you start talking about, oh, it must have been, you know, cloaking device because it's not acting like we think it should act. Maybe it's not acting like you think it should act because it's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
Not that it's wearing a cloaking device. Good God. So,
too much Star Trek.
Watch way too much Star Trek. It's cloaking now. Scotty. So, you know, was there really 8 or 9 or 10 foot skinny alien, or was there, you know, a very genuine family that got spooked when there was an anomalous thing? That, look at that fireball in the footage. It's bright.
Really?
It's something. Yeah. There is something that went through the sky. And the video I saw from the cop's body cam, you can't see it because it disappears behind like the horizon or like houses or something like that. So, but it must have hit the ground with some kind of force. As far as I can tell, though, they haven't found anything, any of the remains. But that could be possible. It
sure.
could be tiny little nothing by the time it gets to the very bottom of the ground. You know, could have been much higher than it looks. So that's the story of the Las Vegas backyard alien, I like to call him. And I think we should have some plush toys made. Okay. That would be very cool. So
too bad Angel probably wouldn't mind doing some interviews.
Yeah. I think he's very genuine. I think he really thinks he saw something baffling and confusing. Whether that was a 10-foot alien, I just, you know, we'll need a lot more proof.
Yeah, I love the first time he says that it's 8 feet tall, then not your 10 feet tall.
12, I don't know, 115. That's you know, that's fair, though, actually. Yeah. Not knowing he can't perfectly judge height like that, I applaud him for that. It's 8 feet six and it weighed 174 pounds. I hate when people say that. So, yeah. He was a genuine, legitimate source of investigation. But his eyes may have been the classic playing tricks on you. It was you make patterns and things, patterns aren't there.
You know what? My eyes have been playing tricks on me on a regular basis.
What's that?
Like when our cat wakes me up and I have to, you know, I'm tired and I have to get up to go do whatever. The Christmas tree. I think it's a person because it's not decorated, so it doesn't have any lights on it right now.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Every time I glance in that direction when it's dark, it's a person. A big person.
we all do that.
For about a second and a half, I'm really scared until I realize, it's a Christmas tree.
Everybody's guilty of that. Everybody does it. It's called evolution. It's human nature.
Yeah.
Accept it. But what it means is that you really, honestly, literally can't always trust your eyes. And and it's really not your eyes. It's your mind.
Yeah.
It's your eyes are picking up data. They're feeding into your mind. Your mind is processing that information the best way it can. And evolution has taught us to see patterns very often when there's not something real there. That's just how it works.
Especially if it could be a threat.
That's the whole idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You'd rather be wrong about there being a real threat there than wrong about thinking there's not a threat there. Yeah. So you err on the side of seeing something when something's not really there.
Yep.
So that is our weird news UFO edition for the tour, almost the end here of 2024. Yep. We hope you enjoyed that. And by the way, glad we're all alive. They didn't have that battle between aliens and, I don't know, fighter jets?
Let's just hope he just didn't get the time wrong.
Whew, I sure hope
it
not.
It still could be coming.
God, I hope if there's that temporal event
to
pitch the 39 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
maybe there's going to be another discussion between Trump and Rogan, and that's the real...
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're right. Damn it. For the good of the country, I think Trump should never go on Joe Rogan again. For the good of the country, no one should ever go on Joe Rogan again. Well, thank you for listening. Until next time.
See ya.
Bye.